Today's podcast of The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
I don't know about you, but I had a checklist of topics that Barack Obama should cover during his State of the Union speech. Education.
In the 21st century, best anti-poverty program around is a world-class education.
Party politics.
The Democrats, I would remind you that we still have the largest majority in decades, and the people expect us to solve problems, not run for the hills.
Healthcare.
And by now, it should be fairly obvious that I didn't take on healthcare because it was good politics.
But here's a surprise that was near and dear to my heart.
We're going to crack down on violations of equal pay laws so that women get equal pay for an equal day's work.
You know, sometimes effective politics is actually effective communication. And if that's true, how well did Barack Obama speak last night? And did he satisfy the checklist in your head? It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It's Thursday, January 28th. And the takeaway for me is that, you know, the State of the Union is really more about addressing that checklist than it is about, you know, high-flown political rhetoric.
Well, I don't know. By my checklist, he missed Balloon Boy. He didn't talk about the party crashers. I mean, a lot of stuff was left out.
It's very true.
But after a tough year, the president took a tough tone last night.
Despite our hardships, our union is strong. We do not give up. We do not quit. We do not allow fear or division to break our spirit.
It was his first State of the Union address, and the president vowed to make job growth his top priority.
People are out of work. They're hurting. They need our help. And I want a jobs bill on my desk without delay.
There was also a new tax credit for small businesses that hire workers. He announced that on the issue of health care, he had this message.
Here's what I ask Congress, though. Don't walk away from reform. Not now. Not when we are so close.
The president acknowledged he may not have done a good job explaining the health care bill to Americans in his speech last night.
And for reaction to the president's address, we're joined now by Ted Widmer. He's a former speechwriter for Bill Clinton and the director of the John Carter Brown Library at Brown University. Good morning, Ted.
Morning.
You heard us going over some of the points in the president's speech, but I'm wondering, what was the one thing that stood out the most for you?
Well, he's fighting back, but he's got his work cut out for him.
That's pretty good.
Well, now that's pretty brief, and that's a good summation. We're going to get more details for you, Ted, in just a moment. We'll be back with you to talk in detail about the speech. In other news, a summit on the future of Afghanistan is now underway in London, where countries are expected to set up a fund to help lure Taliban fighters back into Afghan society. Here at home, Toyota is recalling another 1 million vehicles in the U.S. over problems with floor mats. This newest recall affects five models, including the Highlander and Pontiac Vibe, and it comes one day after Toyota said it was suspending U.S. sales of eight of its most popular models due to faulty accelerator pattern.
That Toyota story is out of control.
Yeah, that's 13 models.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, that they...
It's just not something you associate with Toyota.
Affected. Howard Zinn, the author, teacher, and political activist whose book A People's History of the United States became a best-selling alternative to mainstream history books, died from an apparent heart attack yesterday in California. He was 87 years old. Looking at the markets for right now, world markets are reacting to the president's State of the Union address. Asian and European markets are up. Futures are up as well. The Dow will start at 10,236. The S&P opens at 1,097. And the NASDAQ at 2,221.
So coming up in his address last night, President Obama told us,
there's no reason Europe or China should have the fastest trains.
Actually, there are some reasons, and they're very technical, and we're going to talk about them later on this hour. And all this morning, we're looking for your reactions to the speech last night. Did the president say what you wanted to hear? More of the same? And what were your takeaway moments? Mark in Westport, Massachusetts, emailed us, I love the line about how it can't be election day every day.
What frustrates the American people is a Washington where every day is election day.
You can hear the frustration. Call us with your take at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post it on the takeaway.org website. Coming up, D.C. correspondent Todd Zwillick and a former presidential speechwriter talks about Barack Obama's first State of the Union address.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Good morning. Well, for reaction to the President's State of the Union speech, we thought the best place to go would be somebody who was responsible for writing those kind of speeches. Ted Widmer was a former speechwriter for Bill Clinton and is now director of the John Carter Brown Library at Brown University. And Todd Zwillick joins us, the Takeaway's Washington correspondent, to talk about reaction on both sides of the aisle. Good morning to both of you.
Morning.
Hi, good morning.
So, Ted, as Barack Obama opened the speech, the one thing we didn't hear him open with was the State of the Union is blank, which normally we hear people say the State of our Union is strong, right? I mean, there's been creative ways around that. Reagan said the State of the Union will get better. And the year after that, Reagan said the State of our Union is strong, but the economy is troubled. And Gerald Ford famously said the State of our Union is not good.
Right.
So what was your reaction to the way Barack Obama decided to open his speech?
He did sneak it in there. He said,
right,
despite our hardships, our union is strong. But I don't think it would have gone over that well. I mean, people are uneasy, and I think he had to acknowledge that, and he did. But he didn't want to be too defeatist either. So he managed to get it in there, but in a clever way that wasn't quite the way we've heard it year after year from George W. Bush. It was just the State of the Union is strong over and over and over again.
Right. He snuck it in, but it was like three or four pages into it.
He almost said it while they were applauding. I mean, he had to listen to hear it.
Right. He covered a huge range of topics. Here's what he had to say about jobs.
Now, the House has passed a jobs bill that includes some of these steps. As the first order of business this year, I urge the Senate to do the same, and I know they will. They will. People are out of work. They're hurting. They need our help. And I want a jobs bill on my desk without delay.
So, Ted Widmer, he said that jobs should be the number one priority. Do you think the speech was, A, specific enough, or and B, do you really think the politicians are going to respond to his demand for a jobs bill?
Well, to your first question, yes. I think there were a lot of ideas in the speech about jobs and other things. But your second question, I really can't say. It didn't seem like the politics were that happy in the room last night. Republicans just about never stood up at all, including when he talked about cutting taxes, which was a surprise. So he really does have his work cut out for him. But yes, I think, there was a lot of meat he threw out there in jobs, in education. He doesn't want to give up on health care. Provocative things like putting all earmarks on a website online, some anti-lobbyist language. I mean, there was a ton in that speech, but we'll see how it fares in Congress.
Was he more careful, do you think, this time? Or do you think he'd learned lessons from making deadlines and specific promises that he ended up, because of one reason or another, not being able to deliver on?
I think that's a good point. I think there is a feeling that a lot of the things he promised a year ago have not happened. So he was careful not to do anything like that last night, but then you get into an opposite area of trouble, which is if you don't have any specific promises, then it just sounds vague. And he was getting near a level of vagueness that was troubling, but still, I think he pulled it off.
Okay, well, here's one place in which he was very specific.
Yesterday, the Senate blocked a bill that would have created this commission. So I'll issue an executive order that will allow us to go forward, because I refuse to pass this problem on to another generation of Americans. And when the vote comes tomorrow, the Senate should restore the pay-as-you-go law that was a big reason for why we had record surpluses in the 1990s.
He's talking about issuing an executive order to create a commission to deal with the deficit. Can he make that kind of promise and deliver it?
I think time will tell. I mean, he said it, so he's going to do it, but we'll see what the commission can get accomplished.
Well, what do you think about the effectiveness of saying that in the speech? Is he talking to the American people or to the legislators in the audience?
I think he's talking to the American people more than to anyone. I think they needed a comeback speech. He's had a bumpy few weeks, and they needed to hear Obama, the candidate, and he can't quite be that anymore because it's a year later. We haven't seen as much change as he promised, but we needed a fighting spirit again. And I mean, he did a good, solid effort. It might not have been inspiring the way campaign speeches are supposed to be, but I did think it was a good, solid effort.
Okay, a good solid effort. That's what Ted Widmer, Ford's former speechwriter for Bill Clinton, says. Now let's hear from Todd Zwillick, the Takeaway's Washington correspondent. Todd, you heard Ted saying that the Republicans didn't seem to respond to anything, even cutting taxes. Did you see that as the case?
No, I didn't. Good morning, Celeste. I didn't. I was sitting in the room for the speech listening to the president and really for most of the time had my eyes locked on the Republican side to see their reactions. The president did toss them some meat and they rose to their feet a couple of times. The president's call to eliminate all capital gains as part of a job recovery program. They got on their feet for that. They got on their feet a couple of times for some of the pro-USA American exceptionalism parts of the speech as well.
And what were their issues? We heard them saying that he's proposed things that the United States can't afford.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the Republicans afterwards, Celeste, were sort of saying, and I think it was interesting because they knew this president would give a stirring speech, a good speech. He's an excellent orator. They knew that. So one of the Republican talking points that you heard after the speech as you walked around and talked to them is, well, it's not so much what the president says, it's what he's going to do. And they can't afford to come out of a speech like this and be on the Obama bandwagon. So they were sort of pre-programmed to expect a well-delivered speech, but to oppose the policies that are in it. But he tossed Republicans a bunch of things that they really can't oppose. Eliminating capital gains tax. The president came out for nuclear power plants, for building nuclear power plants. He came out for offshore drilling. This is all stuff that Republicans can't help but love. Can't really love it too much or else they start to get on his bandwagon. But he was trying to, I think, draw Republicans in and sort of take away some of the objections that
they had. Any response to the gays in the military, the ban on the removal of the ban on gays in the military? I mean, Clinton almost died on that whole policy.
Yeah, John, it was a really quick mention that sort of came and went in one line. Everyone was expecting because it had been telegraphed by the White House before. Not a huge amount of reaction there. It was sort of buried in the speech in a quick moment.
Okay, Todd, we also heard him telling the Democrats not to run for the hills, and I assume the Democrats weren't happy about that characterization of them either. We're going to get more coverage of the reaction to the speech from both Todd Zwillick and others on the program today, thanks to you and Ted Widmer. Let's check in now on the headlines at 15 minutes past the hour.
Well, in some of the other news we're following, a summit on the future of Afghanistan is underway in London, where countries are expected to set up a fund to lure Taliban fighters back into Afghan society. The chief NATO military spokesman in Afghanistan says getting thousands of Taliban commanders and foot soldiers to reintegrate would be significant.
I think it would be a major game changer. It would completely disrupt the current set of operations.
Yesterday, I traveled to Washington to speak with U.S. Central Command Chief David Petraeus, and I asked him if he would rule out talks with the Taliban leadership, though, about full reconciliation.
You would not want to rule out. That's right. Yeah, I would, but I would not, again, expect to see something productive in that particular area in the next months or however long.
More with General Petraeus coming up in about 15 minutes.
Moving now to Haiti, where a U.S. Embassy spokesman says there are still parts of the country that aren't getting regular supplies of food and water.
You can find pockets, particularly near the epicenter and in outlying areas, where we have yet to reach the population with any regularity.
The U.N. World Food Program says it needs $800 million in cash right away to feed 2 million survivors through the rest of the year. Here at home, Toyota is recalling another 1 million vehicles in the U.S. over problems with floor mats. This newest recall affects five models, including the Highlander and Pontiac Vibe. That's a look at some of the stories that we're watching this morning. Coming up, we're going to talk about the latest in the Australian Open with New York Times sports writer George Drape.
Thanks for listening to the Takeaway Podcast. If there's a story you think we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.